Revelation 18. We talked about Babylon last week, this city which throughout the generations has taken on different identifications according to the things of that time. We talk about Babylon, obviously, knowing where it is and what it is, what it was, and then realizing what it represents. And that's really what this is about. It's not about identifying a city. It's not about saying this is Rome, or this is actual Babylon, or this is Jerusalem, or this is New York or Hollywood. It's not about pinpointing the geography of it. It's more about understanding the philosophy of it. And a Babylonian philosophy is permeating our society. Would you agree with that? And that's where we are. But John in this revelation says, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power in the earth, was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So what he describes here, would you say that at some point you've seen cities that look like this, either in a movie or on the news, or you've been to one, and it's just scary. It's just evil. The streets are full of evil. It's not safe to be there. The characters, I see people stepping out of the shadows and hovering in the shadows, and that's what we have here. We have a city that is full of evil. It's evil continually. And we've had cities like that in our country, haven't we? Maybe we'd be able to go to one right now and say, this place right here is just a cesspool of evil. And that's what we're seeing in this city. And yet, as we consider the popularity of that city, as evil as it is and as evil as it has become, it was the desire of the nations. All the kings counted on the prophet of that city. And if you think about America, I can remember taking a trip, I guess almost 20 years ago, and it was overseas because they wanted to bring their product to America because they said America is 75% of the world economy. Now, of course, that's 20 years ago. But the foreign nations believe if they can just get their product to the U.S. and the U.S. can produce it and the U.S. can sell it, then they can make money off of it. That's exactly the story we're seeing here about Babylon. Is if we could just get Babylon to sell it, if we could get Babylon to endorse it, if we can get Babylon to do it, then we'll be rich. And all the kings of the earth look to that one city to make them rich. And that's worth considering. Not just that, but look at verse 3. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What is the wine of the wrath of her fornication? Give me one word to explain that phrase. Anybody got one? Okay, sin. Riches, the wine of the wrath of her fornication. How about consequences? The wine of the wrath of her fornication. The whole world reaps the consequences. Look at what happens. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It's reached out. Guys, what we have to comprehend here is that the direction that America has taken, that the direction of social agenda that is well on its way, the humanist agenda that's underway, is not without consequences. And you may buy into it and say, well, this is a good philosophy. But the problem is, it doesn't stand alone. There are consequences. And so when we buy into this mentality of the timeout, we're starting to see the results of a timeout generation. How many of y'all got whipped when you were children? All right, some of you didn't. That's good. All right. I know some of you were perfect and didn't need whippings. All right, Brother Rodney, thank you. Look, again, we're not talking about beating children. We're not talking about abusing children. We're talking about showing them consequences. And by the way, if you'll do it early, you won't have to do it later. If they learn when they're young that there are boundaries and that there are consequences, then when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, all you got to do is look at them sideways and they understand. But when you don't, when you don't teach them early what the consequences are, when they don't have consequences early, then they don't understand boundaries later. And we're experiencing that consequence today. How many of you think it's a wonderful idea to never spank your children? I think it's wonderful. I embrace that. I think it's great. The only problem is my kids needed whippings. The only problem is I needed whippings. And so I know that turns people off. I get it. And by the way, when I was a new parent and before I was a parent, I had all these ideas about how it should be. And I remember, I'll tell you the story about the young pastor who was a youth pastor and didn't have any children. I was in that situation. And he had preached great sermons about how you shouldn't whip your kids and how they just need love and attention and that's all they need. And they don't need any whippings and how you need to have order in your home and they need to listen to you the first time and your wife needs to be in subjection and they shouldn't question you. That's single man philosophy, isn't it? And then he got married and then he had kids. And the church where he used to be a youth pastor called him and said, "Will you come back and preach for our homecoming?" And he said, "I'd love to." And he got back and this little old lady came up to him and said, "Young man, I remember when you were a youth pastor, would you preach us one of those sermons about how to parent and how to be a good husband and how to have a good family?" He said, "Ma'am, just do the best you can." It changes when you're there, doesn't it? So I love the idea of not having to have discipline, of not having to have whippings, spankings. But in my experience, they work. It's like flipping a switch. By the way, I found something old that worked later in life with my boys, beyond whippings, was haircuts. And they get that long hair and they start to get their own identity. And that's the reason that the military, when you come in, they sharpen your hair, don't they, brother? That's what they do. And so you just let them get a little bit longer and they get a little more independent. And I tell you, it flips a switch. You just cut that hair off. And you say, "Well, that's cruel and unusual punishment." No, but the consequences I've experienced are better than the consequences that I didn't want to experience. And that's what we have to understand. What happens as music has become the international language and the worldly, humanistic, sexual philosophy that is wrapped up in music that is going all around the world, there are consequences to that. Now, you may say, "Well, we're not talking about America here when we talk about Babylon." Maybe we are, maybe we're not. But we're talking about a philosophy. No. Seven Hills. Mm-hmm. Well, again, and here's the important thing. I'm not saying it's not. And the question was, is the European Union Babylon? The answer is that Babylon could be actual Babylon. Jerusalem is described in another way. Or it could be one of these other cities that's been defined in theology throughout history. But it's really, remember that government that rises up out of the sea, right, a new government of the people. Remember, another factor is the Christians have been raptured. So the things that we see now may have zero reflection of how things will be. you know, because all the Christians would be raptured out. So all of the theories that we can come up with, all of the places that we could pinpoint now, the world's going to be completely different then. And so that's why it's so important, not for us to say this is that city or this place or, you know, even America, even a country, but to understand the philosophy and the consequences and the wrath of God against those who reject and rebel against Him. And the reason I keep coming back to America, guys, it's easy for us to look at some other country and say, look at how bad they are. It's easy for me to look at your kids and say, look at how bad they are. What's harder is for me to look at my own kids and say how bad they are. Or it's easy for me to look at you and say how bad you are. What's harder for me to look at me and see how bad I am? So I want us to really consider the consequences of what's happening here in our own nation and what's happening here in our own hearts and in our own community. Let's bring it right back home and understand that the point is that God hates this stuff. This wrath, this wine of the wrath of the fornication, there are consequences. And the more that my bad traits, whether that's philosophy, whether that's deeds, goes to other people, the influence that I have, the more those consequences are going to go. But this is all about influence. When we look at our country, what kind of influence is America having on the world? Well, let's go back and talk about all the missionaries we've sent out, where Jerusalem was the hub of mission work. Go ye into all the world, and they did. And then look at America, and the hub of missions, and go ye into all the world, and we did. But what's happening now? What's happening now is the churches in our country are not strong enough to send missionaries to other countries. What's happening now is the reputation of Americans and Christians is not strong enough to send them to other countries. What's happening now is America needs to be rescued our own self, which has long been the case. People want to go out and build churches, and I'm all for that. But let's save the ones that are already put up. Let's revive and renew and refresh the ones that are already here. It's like looking at our church, and we've got a great church. And we start looking and say, well, I think that this church over here has got good. Well, then how about introducing some of those programs here or introducing some of those changes here and let's see if it works. Now, obviously, if it's not good and it's not right, then it's not going to work. You say, well, they've got a great choir. Well, then let's get a great choir. By the way, we don't have a choir now because of coronavirus. You know, there are things that we think about doing, but let's not think as a pastor. When a pastor runs into trouble where he is, a lot of times he says, well, you know what I need to do? I just need to go somewhere else and start fresh with some people who don't know me. With some people I don't know, and we can start fresh. That sounds good, but it's just like a man when he gets a divorce saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find me a new wife. And he goes out and gets one just like the one he left. And I've seen it happen over and over again. And I'm not saying that happens every time, so don't get offended. But the truth is, why would a pastor go somewhere else to start fresh when he could just get right with God where he is and revive where he is? And why would a church do that either? Let's just get right with God where we are and rise up from here. But it's the philosophy of somewhere else. Here we see the consequences. Here, look at what it says. It has become the habitation of devils. Why? Because they're comfortable there. We should be uncomfortable in our society. All that's going on should make us as Christians very uncomfortable with the direction of our nation. It says, they have committed fornication with it. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, I heard a voice, another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plague. So there it is. Come out. Get out of there. Only problem I see, a lot of times people leave a place they don't like and they go to a new place. And you know what they do? They try to make it just like the place they left, don't they? And I won't pick on any Yankees, but Y'all know that's humor, but why would you move to Florida and try to make it like Michigan? If you like Michigan so much, stay in Michigan. Is that Bible? No, that's Derek. Come out of her, my people. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to identify Babylon, the Babylonian philosophy, the Babylonian mindset. First thing we've got to do is identify that and understand what it is we need to stay out of. Understand what it is that God is angry about. Understand what it is that God's trying to keep us pure of. Her sins have reached unto heaven, verse 5. Verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she has filled to her double. So there's this excess of sin, excess of evil, excess of rebellion. How much she has glorified herself, verse 7. Well, we live in a society of narcissistic people, don't we? Man. Me. I has become our generation. Glorified herself, lived deliciously. How many of you want to live deliciously? I think most people do. Sounds good. But the point is that it's not supposed to be about us. Our income is not supposed to be about us. I mean, it's great if you can work and earn good money and have a good living. But understand that we're stewards. Everything we have belongs to God. So how are we using it for Him? Doesn't mean you have to give it to the church. Of course, we tithe, but we're generous to other people, to those who are less fortunate, to those who are in need. We help them out. That's what we do with our income if we're living beyond our basic needs. That's why God allows us to do that. He says, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she has said in her heart, right, in her own heart, in her own mind, I sit a queen. I am no widow and shall see no sorrow. I am above retribution. I am beyond the law. No one can touch me. Now, don't name any names, but how many of you can think of somebody right now like that? Whether it's a national figure or whether it's somebody in your own life. Untouchable. We need to understand something. Everybody has a consequence. Everybody. The Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that what your Bible says? We must all stand. And so we're all going to be judged. We're all going to answer for the things which we've done in this body, the Bible says. So our lives are going to be judged. Again, my sins are washed away. But you know what God has record of? The opportunities He's given me. The expectations that He has for me. Now what are we doing with that? What are we doing with what God has given us? Remember, Jesus told us about the people with the talents. And He said, I gave you talents and you talents and you talents. And He came back to receive the benefit of that. And one of them said, well, I buried it because I didn't want to mess it up. And I'm afraid that a lot of us are burying our talents when we need to be using it for God. You get this idea that I'm untouchable, or, well, my sins are washed away, so it'll be okay when I get to heaven. We're still going to answer to God for what we did or didn't do with what He's called us and enabled us to do. We still must stand before God. And this idea that we're going to get away with everything is wrong. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. This coronavirus crept in, didn't it? Little message about it back in maybe November, little whisper of January. A little more talk, a little more concern. By March, close everything down. That's months. Babylon, one day. I have to admit to you, on 9/11, when I saw the towers burning, I wondered, is this the judgment on America? Is this the judgment on New York? Is this the judgment on that city that's sold fornication throughout the world? I wondered that. And one day, remember that day? And I remember that day. And America was shocked. How could this happen? And if you remember the shock of that day, think about the whole world worshiping this city, worshiping the delicacies, worshiping the finances, the merchandise, all that comes out of that city, not to mention also the humanistic religion. And in one day, wiped out. In a moment. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. How does that happen? I can tell you two words. Compromise and tolerance. Because that's where we're going. And any of us who will not compromise and who are intolerant of sin, well, number one, we'll be gone because of the rapture, but we're being maligned more and more and more every day. And they're finding ways and using circumstances to shut us up. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get strong. We have Brother Rudy Holland from the National Center for Life and Liberty coming. He's going to speak in both services today. That's what they do, is represent churches who are under pressure of to be shut down, to be hushed, to be compromised, because they won't compromise and they're not tolerant. Guys, I love everybody. I want everybody to go to heaven. But sin is sin. And if you're committing sin, you get offended because the Bible preaches against it, and I preach what the Bible says. That's not on me, that's on you. Compromise and tolerance. Verse 10, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. I keep going back to that September 11th. I know what it was. I understand what it was. But in a biblical perspective, it haunted me wondering, did I miss something in the Scriptures? Is this really the judgment? But think about how we felt. Think about how our country was just in mourning. And then consider how Babylon's going to be. Consider how the whole world is going to be shocked and hushed and shut down. Stunned. Look at verse 14. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, all the company in the ships, sailors, as many as trade by sea and stood afar off, cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. In 1 hour is she made desolate. Look at how they're mourning. Look at how they're grieving. Look at how they feel that loss. In contrast, their attitude, their worship, their desire toward that city, contrast that with where God stands. God's destroyed it. He says everything that comes out of there is bad for people. Everything that comes out of there is destroying people's lives. And yet they don't see it. And look at what's going on in our world today. And you sit back and you have your sense of where things ought to be, of what's right and what's wrong, and then you see people out there who have a completely different sense, don't they? There are people who say that abortion is moral, that abortion is what Jesus would have us to do. How do you get that thinking? How do we go so far from right and truth? How do we go so far to embrace these things? But the Bible said they'll call evil good and good evil. Woe unto you who call evil good and good evil. And here we sit, marching closer. It's not going to be a shocking. The tribulation, the mindset, the attitude of the tribulation of those is not going to be as shocking. You know why? Because we're already in it. Remember Ezekiel talked about the rivers of Jerusalem and his in the prophecy. And remember he went out and he said, go out there till your ankles are in it. Go out there till your knee, you're up to your knees. Go out till you're up to your waist. And he finally got out there, that river that was so deep that isn't there right now. It was over his head. Remember that? And that's exactly what's happening with the moral decline. And I can't really tell you when we got our feet wet, when we were up to our knees in it, when we were up to our waist in it. I can tell you right now, we're drowning in it. The moral decline, the sinful acceptance, the tolerance, the compromise among Christians. People who say they're saved. People who say they know the Lord. And yet they don't embrace the Word of God. They don't embrace the truth of God. Don't embrace the standards of God. And yet we justify sin. We justify our own way of thinking. Not because it's right. And what's happening today, the pressure against the church, the pressure against Christians, the pressure against what's right, is stronger than ever and getting stronger in this country. The world built her up, tore her to shreds, and of course this is all future. Look at verse 23 if you will. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And everyone's bewitched, and everyone's hypnotized, and everyone's drawn in, and everyone embraces it. Greed and excess, indulgence, perversion. And we've got a major perversion going on in our world today. And high ranks. And it's being uncovered more every day. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, there are going to be some people that we thought were good people that are going to turn out to be monsters. And you know what I say? Punish them all. I have zero tolerance for somebody to abuse a child. Zero. Zero. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So this city that they worship, this city that they count on, this city that they're hypnotized by, has had an active war against the church, against the prophets, against the saints. So think about that. We could talk about it. I mean, how many of you would say that we have a Babylonish media? Would you say so? A Babylonish entertainment industry. You see, We're closer than we have ever been. And we're not far away. Any comments? Let's take a break.